Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Today we recall an event that happened this week in 1981. The attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan by John Hinckley. Reagan was leaving the Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. after having addressed a labor meeting. The man arrested at the scene was John Hinckley Jr. from Ardmore, Oklahoma. He was initially described as a deranged drifter. The first thing that struck me, if you'll pardon the pun, was what interest might a drifter have in the politics of the American nation? Surely he had more immediate problems. The second was, where did he get the money to buy a gun? Surely food or a bed might have been a cleverer option. On researching a little more, I came across his mugshot taken the day of the assassination attempt. The first thing that I noticed was that he was neatly groomed. A middle-of-the-road type guy that would have blended into a band like the early Beach Boys. To me, he looked the epitome of middle-class America. On further research, I discovered his family were wealthy and ran an oil company. Hinckley wasn't a drifter, he was a school dropout and was 25 at the time of the attempted assassination. Apparently his prime motivation was to attract the attention of Jodie Foster, with whom he was obsessed. He wrote to her on many occasions. He even wrote a note to her on the day of the assassination attempt. It read as follows and was written after midnight on the day he intended to kill President Reagan. Dear Jodie, there is a definite possibility that I will be killed in my attempt to get Reagan. It is for this very reason that I am writing you this letter now. As you well know, by now I love you very much. Over the past 7 months, I have left you dozens of poems, letters and love messages in the faint hope that you could develop an interest in me. Although we talked on the phone a couple of times, I've never had the nerve to simply approach you and introduce myself. Besides my shyness, I honestly did not wish to bother you with my constant presence. I know the many messages left at your door and in your mailbox were a nuisance, but I felt that it was the most painless way for me to express my love for you. I feel very good about the fact that you at least know my name and how I feel about you. And by hanging around your dormitory, I have come to realize that I am the topic of more than a little conversation, however full of ridicule it may be. At least you know that I'll always love you. Jodie, I would abandon this idea of getting Reagan in a second if I could only win your heart and live the rest of my life with you, whether it be in total obscurity or whatever. I will admit to you that the reason I'm going ahead with this attempt now is because I just cannot wait any longer to impress you. I've got to do something now to make you understand in no uncertain terms that I am doing all this for your sake. By sacrificing my freedom and possibly my life, I hope to change your mind about me. This letter is being written only an hour before I leave for the Hilton Hotel. Jodie, I am asking you to please look into your heart and at least give me the chance with this historical deed to gain your respect and love. I love you forever. John Hinckley. Reagan was seriously wounded when the .22 bullet from Hinckley's revolver ricocheted off the president's limousine, shattered Reagan's rib and punctured his lung. Policeman Thomas Delahanty and Secret Service agent Tim McCarthy were also wounded in the attack. But it was the press secretary, James Brady, who fared worst. He was permanently disabled in the shooting. Hinckley was pulled to the ground, and within seconds, another agent dived on top to protect him and prevent the same thing happening to Hinckley as had happened to Lee Harvey Oswald. A labor official punched Hinckley so violently on the head, he drew blood. though Reagan was close to death on arrival at the George Washington University Hospital, he was stabilized and underwent emergency surgery. His most famous quote when visited by his wife Nancy was, "Honey, I forgot to duck." When Hinckley's case came to trial in 1982, he was found not guilty on the grounds of the defense's psychiatric report, which said that Hinckley was insane, while the prosecution reports claimed he was legally sane. There was a public outcry at the result, which led to the Insanity Reform Act of 1984. The idea of the act was to prevent people evading justice by claiming they had been insane at the time the crime was perpetrated. Hinckley was transferred into the psychiatric care of St. Elizabeth's Hospital, Washington, D.C. In 1987, Hinckley applied for a court order to allow him home visits to see his mother. As part of the basis for their final decision, the authorities searched Hinckley's room and discovered photographs and letters that showed he was still fixated on Jodie Foster. They also found correspondence he had with the serial killer, Ted Bundy. There was evidence that he had been trying to contact Charles Manson also. So it came as no surprise his request was denied. In 2005, a judge decided he should be allowed supervised visits to his parents' home. All government experts agreed his depression and psychotic disorder was in remission. In 2011, a forensic psychologist report testified that they believed there was no further risk to himself or others. On March the 29th, 2012, the day before the 30th anniversary of the attempted assassination, Hinckley's attorney filed for his release. In 2016, the day finally came when he was released from St. Elizabeth's, on conditions that he live full-time with his mother. Other conditions included no alcohol, no firearms, no memorabilia of Jodie Foster, no violent movies, no online pornography, no speaking to the press or erasing his web browser history, and definitely no visiting graves of dead presidents. He was required to work at least 3 days a week, to refrain from visiting prohibited places, to record his browser history, not to drive more than 30 miles unattended from his mother's home. In 2018, a judge ruled he could move out of his mother's home and live on his own. On July the 20th, 2020, a judge decreed Hinckley could make money by exhibiting and selling his artwork and music. A footnote to all this is that there are three would-be assassins walking free in America today. They are John Hinckley, Lynette Squeaky Fromm of Charles Manson fame, who tried to assassinate President John Ford, and Sarah Jane Moore, who tried only 14 days later to accomplish what Fromm had failed to do. Keep on listening to TRP.